This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Friday, June 11th, the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air as we bring the light of Christ to start your morning. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Great to be with you once again on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Thanks so much for joining us. Our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk about money and specifically the new Bitcoin craze with financial expert Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management, who will bring us up to speed on the latest craze and so we can find out exactly what is Bitcoin. A little bit later in the show, Ray McKenna, the founder of Catholic Athletes for Christ, will join us to share his insights on sports and faith and the tremendous work that he's doing with his ministry. And we'll have a brand new Glenn Story Corner. But we begin each hour here on Morning Air by giving thanks to the good Lord for all the many blessings, always asking through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Come, Holy Spirit, come, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I trust in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We got great news for my hometown and for the Illinois on this day as Chicago and the entire state fully reopens. That means full capacity for businesses, restaurants, and sports. That also means the Chicago Cubs will be celebrating opening day 2.0 at Wrigley Field today with 100% capacity for today and the rest of the season, especially for this weekend series with the St. Louis Cardinals. What a blessing. It's been a long time coming. Now, as we do every day, we have another power scripture from the Playbook of Life, which is perfect for this solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Jeremiah 29:13. The Old Testament prophet says, "You shall seek me and shall find me when you shall seek me with all your heart." This verse has spoken to me over the years in a very profound way. I hope it resonates with you as well. This is what true devotion to the Sacred Heart is all about. It's not about just going through the motions with our Catholic faith. It's about giving Jesus, the Lord, your entire heart. It's about seeking Christ with all your heart and making Jesus, the Lord, number one, and then everything else falls into place. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I trust in you. Here on Morning Air, we want to try to cover relevant issues, to talk about everything under the sun, everyday life, our faith, sports, politics, and even finances through a spiritual and a Catholic perspective. So let's talk about money. Our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Hey, do you know what Bitcoin is? How is Bitcoin changing the definition of money? Is this Bitcoin craze reminiscent of the stock market craze about 100 years ago in the 1920s? And now joining us to give us a little short lesson and education on Bitcoin is longtime Morning Air contributor Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management. Senecal is bridging the gap between traditional investing and digital assets. Good morning, Bill. Welcome to Morning Air. It's great to be with you once again. It's been a while since we connected.
Oh, no, thank you so much for having me on. This is a super exciting time, and it's great to be with you guys.
Well, Bill, this issue of Bitcoin, it's something that I've been hearing about over the last 4 or 5 years. Some Catholic business people that I know were involved in it. I didn't know much about it at the time. I'm still learning. But can you explain for our audience exactly what is Bitcoin? How did it get started?
Well, Bitcoin makes it as easy to send money or value anywhere on the planet as about as fast as it takes to send a text message person to person. Like, in other words, without the need of a bank or intermediary or other kind of financial services company that skims or charges a fee for transferring money. So Bitcoin, think of it as a digital form of cash, of like U.S. dollars. The technology that Bitcoin uses is called blockchain. So in essence, when a person sends information through the internet, like a spreadsheet, a PDF file, or a digital image, or a song, I'm actually sending a copy of that digital good. I maintain a copy of the original on my computer, and I'm really just sending a copy to somebody else. Now, that works great for things like spreadsheets, right? And low-value items, cat videos. But it doesn't work well for things like money, music rights, international settlements, or the trillions of dollars that move on through the global supply chain, real estate transactions and ownership. So blockchain technology is a technology that allows you to maintain original sole ownership of a digital good. And when you send it over the internet, you don't send a copy of it. You send the real unique piece of goods using the internet. So it's a profound piece of technology. It was invented about 11 years ago by a person or persons named Satoshi Nakamoto. We don't really know who it is, and we don't really care. It's like, do I really care who invented, you know, C squared equals A squared plus B squared? It doesn't matter. But it was designed to be a form of digital cash during the depths of the great economic crash that we had in 08 and 09. And the idea is to be able to make a transaction between two people without the need of a bank.
Bill, how much has it caught on? How popular is Bitcoin becoming in this day?
It's explosively popular and getting more popular every single day. So currently, over the last 10 or 11 years, there are now about 23,000 venues around the globe that accept Bitcoin. So the percentage is definitely picking up. Bitcoin price is roughly $36,000 per token, although you can buy $10 worth of Bitcoin, $5 worth of Bitcoin. So you can buy almost an infinite small amount of it. But again, like I said, there's around 23,000 venues around the world that accept Bitcoin. El Salvador just announced that they are going to be accepting Bitcoin as a legal form of tender. Microsoft, Overstock.com, Tesla, Home Depot, Whole Foods, Priceline, Groupon, like all these major companies do accept Bitcoin as payment. And more companies are beginning to open up their eyes to exactly what money is. Even if Bitcoin itself fails, John, what it has done is opened up our eyes to what really is money, and how money is used as a tool to oppress freedom, economic freedom, and inclusion. And in my opinion, Bitcoin truly embraces the church's teaching on subsidiarity, on helping the poor in many, many different ways.
Excellent. Let's talk about that here in a moment. But first, I'd like to invite our listeners, if you want to be part of this discussion on Bitcoin, if you have a comment or question about Bitcoin for Bill Ulivieri, our financial expert, the owner of Senecal Capital Management, please give us a ring. In fact, if you're currently investing in Bitcoin, especially, we want to hear from you. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Let's talk about the Catholic perspective that you alluded to. Any particular way that Catholics should approach Bitcoin?
Well, I hope that they approach it with incredible excitement and with open arms. So if there was ever a way to bring inclusion into the world's poor, lift the women out of poverty, children, you know, of the 7 billion people on this planet, many of them are in the depths of poverty. They do not have access to financial services. They can't get a loan. They don't have an ID, a form of ID. They don't own title to their property that's been handed down for generations in the family. And it's in a, and this is used against the poor. They just can't lift themselves out of poverty. And really, when we think about it, the only time Jesus really is mentioned in the Bible of being incredibly furious is when he overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple. He called them a part, they called them a den of robbers. So today's money changers are the currency exchanges and money transmitting firms. Anybody who's ever traveled to a foreign country knows intimately well how the exchange rates of the currency are much better in the street. They're much better in the back alley. They're much better amongst the people than they are at the hotel or the ATM when you land at the airport or bank.
How true. Bitcoin. We were so careful when we went to Rome. My goodness. Yeah, you had to be very, very careful. Otherwise, they'll rob you as silly.
They will rob you blind, right? So that story that Jesus is talking about is still very relevant today. And so in my opinion, and I think this is where I respectfully disagree with, you know, any opposition right now of Bitcoin and the energy that it uses to expend to secure the network. Bitcoin, in my opinion, is the very essence of where the church is teaching on subsidiarity. So the church has a very special place in her heart for refugees, the displaced. The Bible uses the term alien, you know, the foreign in the land. I mean, do you think that a refugee can get their wealth out of a country split by civil war? Do you think that the ravages of inflation against the poor in Venezuela, South America, Africa, and other nations helps the poor? I mean, there are like 4 billion people on the planet that, again, have no access to a bank or money. Bitcoin fixes that. Bitcoin can be termed as the people's money. And I don't want to get too focused on Bitcoin because while it is remarkable technology and it is an amazing thing, the truth is there are already like Bitcoin 2.0, Bitcoin 3.0, Bitcoin 4.0 is already being created on this technology that came out about 11 years ago. And this is really why we're introducing it into our IRA and 401k platforms, you know, for our clients, because I really do believe that Bitcoin is moving. It's a new form of digital money. It's the whole world is digital. This conversation that you and I are having happens in a digital world. And money eventually will probably become harder and harder to find, like physical cash. And Bitcoin fixes that. It allows people to become inclusive in an economic system where normally they are shut out of. And that's why I think that Bitcoin is really a true manifestation and incarnation, at least for now, in the way that the church wants us to help the poor.
If you have
I have
any
a
thoughts,
great story for you, too.
We're just going to get to that in a second. If you have any thoughts on this digital money, on Bitcoin, you want to be part of our discussion, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Yeah, I understand you have a very powerful true story to share relating to India that may resonate with our Catholic listeners.
Yeah, so I had a wonderful conversation with a woman that worships in a part of a parish in the western suburbs. And so they raised money for an orphanage, a Catholic orphanage in a remote part of India. And what they did is these are the steps that it took. And this is not an exact story, but it's the 35,000 foot view. So what they did was is the church raised money on Saturday evening and Sunday at all the masses. So the church raised the money. They waited until Monday morning before they deposited the funds at the parish office. Then they deposited those monies at the local bank. That money was transferred to the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Archdiocese of Chicago sends a wire transfer to the Vatican. Then the Vatican has to convert it into euros because they don't think they think euros dollars, right? That goes through the bank. Then the Vatican has to hire a diplomatic courier. The diplomatic courier takes the actual euro dollars and puts it like in a leather pouch and gets in a hot on an airplane and travels to India by airplane. Then when they land in India, they have to spend the night in Mumbai. Then the diplomatic courier has to take a train to a small village. He delivers the cash to the bishop. Then they have to contact the papal nuncio to make sure that like all this happens with permission of the local bishop. Then the bishop and this courier have to basically stake their life, risk their life, because they have to travel miles and miles in order to deposit this money at the local bank, because everybody knows that the guy with the leather pouch has got the cash. There's robbers, there's thieves, there's hooligans all along the way. Then when you walk into the door,
it sounds like an adventure movie, Bill.
right? It's like Indiana Jones, right? And
exactly.
So then you're not even done yet, right? So then you've got the bank. You've got police officers who are basically corrupt. The bank president is corrupt. The tellers are corrupt. And the bank doesn't look like a bank in Chicago. It looks more like a tin hut with a window cut out with a saw, right? And then the bishop makes the deposit, and then they have to transfer it and convert it from euro dollars into Indian rupees. And, like, all this has to get done before the bishop even gets the money. With Bitcoin and blockchain technology, theoretically, you could have been a parishioner in the pew on Sunday afternoon and with your phone send a donation to the bishop, and they would have received it in about 10 minutes. So here you have old, clunky, inefficient money being transmitted from point A to point B from the United States to India, and it takes about 45 days. And there's thousands of dollars in bank fees and currency slippage, airline tickets, travel, taxes. I mean, just what they lost in delivering the money, like say it was $3,000 of the $20,000 that they raised. I mean, $3,000 can help a family in India live on, like, they live on like $2 a day. They can live for a half a year on just the slippage. And so now you have almost a virtual guarantee that they can receive this highly sound form of money in about 10 minutes from the comfort of your own smartphone. And that, to me, is the exciting thing about Bitcoin and this kind of blockchain technology, is the church receives money, holds on to it, and then spreads it all over the globe. And that is incredibly inefficient. It's incredibly insecure. And there's, of the billions of dollars that are collected and spent, I've got to imagine tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars are spent on wasted fees and banking fees. And just, Bitcoin's time has come in a digital world, John.
Well, Bill, again, our listeners are listening carefully. A powerful story you just shared with us. If you want to be part of this conversation, if you have a question for Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Cynical Capital Management, our financial expert, we're talking about this digital money, Bitcoin. Give us a call, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Charles is joining us this morning from suburban Chicago in Naperville, Illinois. Charles, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Fascinating conversation, something everybody's interested in. My question is this. It seems to be inevitable that the governments are going to begin controlling or at least regulating cryptocurrency. What effect will that have on all the conveniences and the privacy and the ability to move money that your guest is speaking of? Thank you.
Thanks, Charles. Bill, your take?
Right. Great, Charles, great question. And it's true. This is a huge threat to the status quo. And cryptocurrencies will be regulated. And in fact, many of them should be regulated. I'm not going to lie to you. That's true. But also, there's two things that I want to talk about. And one is El Salvador. The country of El Salvador, just a few days ago, passed a law accepting, by a supermajority, accepted Bitcoin as legal tender for the country. And what does that mean? It means that there's the political structure in El Salvador realizes the power of Bitcoin and the fact that a currency is not run by a nation bank. Like, it's not censored by a local government. I mean, this is a problem if you're the International Monetary Fund or the World Bank, because you get to donate funds to El Salvador that some people would suggest actually keeps a country poor because of the insane amount of debt that they take on in a country. And it's also a threat to a power structure because it reduces the control and the number of strings you can manipulate a country with. So while I do think that the government and world government, the World Bank, IMF, you name it, will control and regulate cryptocurrency, what I think is a bigger threat is something called a stable coin. A bigger threat, I believe, will be, like, Bitcoin and cryptocurrency is agnostic morally, in my opinion, in the church's eyes. What you do with it is the moral aspect, right? So central bank digital currencies are coming online in China, in the United States, and many countries. They're going to create their own digital currency for the United States. That is where the control and the surveillance is going to happen, because we have about $6 trillion a year of economic activity in the United States that is untaxed. It's babysitters, waitresses that don't pay tax on cash. It's back office drug dealing and firemen doing side jobs, you know, on their weekends. Like all this cash that flows at farmers markets and flea markets, all that is going to come out and be taxed and monitored and surveilled. For me, that is a way bigger concern than Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies. So the answer is yes, but it's like a hierarchy of threats. And to me, Bitcoin is nowhere near as much as a threat to the powers that be as, say, a digital currency that's created by a nation central bank.
Thanks so much for your call. I take it we have Mike with us. Mike from St. Paul, Minnesota. Welcome to Morning Air.
Yeah, good morning. My question is, where does Bitcoin get its value from? I mean, what gives it value? I mean, we used to have the gold standard many years ago. That's done away with now. And it's like, what gives Bitcoin the ability to transfer it for some good or services? That's my question. Also, the other thing is that I think because it's dependent upon electronics and the digital world, what happens if the digital world collapses because of some kind of a natural disaster or a man-made, a nuclear explosion, for example, would just shut the electrical grid down? So, and its biggest advantage, I also see its biggest disadvantage because it's dependent upon the digital world. And that's all.
Great comment, Mike. Bill, your thoughts?
Mike, great question. Listen, nobody can solve for every single equation. Think the chances of an EMP pulse bomb or a complete shutdown of the entire digital infrastructure is so remote that we can't even really think about it. It's a complete black swan event. And then you could say, well, what happens to your ATM when the power structure goes down? What happens to the banking system when the power structure goes down? What happens to, government Social Security checks if that all goes down? But the truth is there are some people, developers who are creating ways to transact digital currency without the need of the internet. Like it can use your technology just on your phone, like local to local. And there's actually Bitcoin that can be used to transact person to person using a piece of paper with the address on it. Like you can just hand someone something the size of a business card, and it can actually have a preloaded amount of Bitcoin on it. But so that's the second question. The first question, Mike, I think was what gives it value? And this is, I could talk about this for an hour. Value.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time. Bill.
I know.
Brief.
Intrinsic value is a philosophical question. What value is what two people decided to be. I can believe that mud and making a cake or a piece or a pie out of mud, it has incredible value because of the care that I create the mud pie. But if you don't see value with it, it doesn't matter what I think. Value is decided by two people. It's freedom. It's where economic transaction happens between two people on what makes something of value. And so intrinsic value is an incredibly philosophical. It's not an economic decision. And so that, Mike, I think I could do an hour episode on just what is intrinsic value and what is value. And it's really just what is accepted, using no manipulation between two free parties. That is value. And we don't have enough time to get into what is being expended to protect and secure the Bitcoin network. That is also value. And so that's really just the quick answer.
We'll have to leave it right there. Mike, thanks for your call. Bill, unfortunately, we're out of time. We've just begun to talk about Bitcoin, but thanks so much for all your knowledge and education on the basics. Thank you, Bill Ulivieri, longtime Morning Air contributor and the owner of Senecal Capital Management. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks. Thank you, John.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Ray McKenna, the founder of Catholic Athletes for Christ, who will share his insights on sports and faith. And we'll have a brand new Glenn Story Corner after today's gospel reading from the 19th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Stay with us. Much more to come on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's Gospel reading from the New American Bible.
John, chapter 19, verses 31 through 37. Since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first, and then of the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. An eyewitness has testified, and his testimony is true. He knows that he is speaking the truth, so that you also may come to believe. For this happened so that the scripture passage might be fulfilled, "Not a bone of it will be broken." And again another passage says, "They will look upon him whom they have pierced."
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester. After the hour, let's talk sports. Let's talk some baseball. Welcome back to Morning Air on this Friday, June 11th, the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. As you probably know by now, as a former sports reporter, sports and faith are two of my greatest passions in life. And that's why I felt called to create and produce my first documentary film called Champions of Faith Baseball Edition. We started in spring training filming down in Arizona back in 2006, and that's exactly where I met our next guest, Ray McKenna, the founder and president of Catholic Athletes for Christ, who shares these same passions and founded Catholic Athletes for Christ right about the same time. Listen to the passion for our Lord Jesus Christ of five-time American League All-Star Mike Sweeney, one of the many, many athletes who work with Catholic Athletes for Christ.
I encourage you guys out there, if you have not encountered a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe after hearing this, maybe Jesus is pounding on your heart saying, "Invite me in. Maybe today's your day." I would just pray that you would get on your knees and say, "Jesus Christ, I lived my life without you up to this point, and I can't live without you." So that's my challenge. If you haven't encountered a true love with Jesus, maybe today's the day that Jesus is calling you home.
Today could be the day, and now joining us live is Ray McKenna, the founder and president of Catholic Athletes for Christ. Ray is a Washington, D.C.-based attorney and former general counsel of the General Services Administration. Ray also served as a lay baseball chaplain for 8 years. Good morning, Ray. Welcome to Morning Air. It is so good to be with you once again, especially on this day, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Good morning, John, dear friend. So good to be with you. How are you?
Doing well. I've thought about you so many times. I know so much has changed over the years it's been a while since I last saw you. In fact, I think we were in Rome together in front of St. Peter's, I think, the last time I saw you at that Vatican Sports Conference.
Too long, but it's great to hear your voice, and I'm impressed with all your enthusiastic work for Relevant Radio, which I've loved, and, you know, had the pleasure to be on air a few times over the years, and just really appreciate your work.
Well, thank you, Ray, so much, and I appreciate all the tremendous work that you're doing with Catholic Athletes for Christ. And speaking about your organization, tell us a little bit about what inspired you and motivated you to found Catholic Athletes for Christ.
Sure. The inspiration, I believe, and hope that came from the Holy Spirit right around the time that we met, maybe a little bit before, John, in the early 2000s. And through my work that you had mentioned as a lay baseball chaplain with an organization called Baseball Chapel, an evangelical, non-denominational Protestant organization, does some great work. I really felt there was a void in Catholic sports ministry. You know, we refer, on if you check our website, Catholic Athletes for Christ, so, we say Catholic Athletes for Christ is the first name in Catholic sports ministry. And well, I think that's true. I think, you know, for a long time, it was the only name in Catholic sports ministry, because there really wasn't a focus on sports ministry in the church. One of our Episcopal advisors, Bishop John Barris of Rockville Center, New York, had said that Catholic sports ministry is somewhere between 50 and 100 years behind where it should be. So, long-winded answer to a short question, but basically, because I really felt perceived a need that there needed to be an independent Catholic sports ministry where athletes could continue to practice their Catholic faith and the fullness, you know, the fullness of the truth, and still be top-flight athletes.
Without a doubt, and you definitely are doing that. At that time, just talk briefly about what you saw as a chaplain in Major League Baseball, working with our evangelical brothers and sisters. They were doing some great work, but it wasn't the fullness of the Christian faith.
Great enthusiasm is what I encountered, but, you know, we've had generations in the church, sadly, who are not properly catechized, in some cases not catechized at all, and they didn't understand when they would be proselytized, if you would, that, you know, all denominations are the same, there's one Christ, one faith in Christ, and there's no need to have a Catholic denomination, as they would call it, but you just have a prayer service and you dispense with the sacraments and the saints and Mary and all the beauty in the 2,000-year tradition of the church, you know, and that's the real sadness of it, is that while they do incredible great work, you know, and really love the Lord, I truly believe they don't perceive or understand the fullness and the beauty of Christ's church, which he left us as he departed on the ascension.
We're joined live by Ray McKenna, the founder and president of Catholic Athletes for Christ. We're talking about the importance of sports, and sports is an instrument to spread the faith and the gospel through Catholic Athletes for Christ. Ray, talk a little bit about your mission and vision, how you're serving Catholics in all levels of sports.
Sure. Our mission is real simple. It's twofold. One is to service. It's to serve Catholic athletes, and what I mean by that is, primarily because we are Catholic, is to provide the sacrament. So we have a well-established sacramental ministry in professional baseball and in the NFL, where we have priest chaplains who provide Mass all home weekends, and also, you know, hear confession, and in some cases provide other sacraments, like performing weddings for the players. We have little parishes, if you would, at the stadium community. And the main reason, as I alluded to before, is there's no other opportunity typically for these players other than go to a non-denominational service to receive the sacraments, you know, during the busyness of the season.
And this is outstanding.
And the second part of an admission, so that's the first part, is serve by providing the sacraments, is to encourage the athletes, once they're properly catechized, is to go out and evangelize, to share the faith. You know, the vision that you know so well of our hero, St. John Paul II, to bring the good news of Christ to the world through sports.
Without a doubt. In fact, I know that St. John Paul II, JP2, was a big inspiration for you. In fact, there's a beautiful image of the Holy Father dressed in white, kicking a soccer ball with children all around him, right on your webpage at CatholicAthletesForChrist.org. And it's outstanding. In fact, I have the exact same image right here in my office. I'm looking at it as we speak. Talk a little bit about that influence of John Paul II.
As you know, Pope John St. John Paul II, loved sports. He was a sportsman, you know, and a continuation of something that isn't that well known is that the church has had a great interest in sports, you know, almost from the beginning. St. Paul, in many ways, you know, has such rich and wonderful sporting images in his epistles, you know, he's almost like a sports writer. And, you know,
I call him Coach Paul. Coach Paul, running the race, fighting the good fight.
Right? And Pope Pius XII is considered the Pope for sports because, you know, he wrote beautifully on sports and loved sports. And so the value of sports, and as he said, and it's an important distinction, sports properly understood, to understand that it's not just an endeavor of the body, but it's a, you know, endeavor of the body, the mind, and the soul working together. And oftentimes in the secular world, there's a lack of emphasis or understanding or belief that the soul is part of the sports endeavor.
Ray, Pope John Paul II called sports a school of virtue, and I know that virtue is something that you guys emphasize with Catholic Athletes for Christ. Can you talk a little bit about those core virtues?
Yeah, absolutely. We even have at our high school chapters, national chapters, so in high schools throughout the country, we have produced a list of Catholic sports virtues that are proudly displayed in many gyms and athletic offices throughout the country. And, you know, sometimes they strike people as a little bit kind of different, but, you know, there are things like charity, humility, meekness, moderation, sportsmanship, and purity. Purity, had a beautiful introduction from Mike Sweeney there, and, you know, he's a big advocate of purity. And I think that's something that's really lost in our world, sadly, is the importance of purity, about how that really defines us as people and also as athletes. And if you don't understand that, if you're not devoted to these core virtues, then your athletic endeavors are, you know, at the end of the day, kind of insufficient and maybe almost meaningless.
We're talking with the founder of Catholic Athletes for Christ, Ray McKenna. Our number, if you want to join the conversation, if you want to share your experiences of using sports to spread the gospel, to instill values and virtues, if you're a Catholic athlete, give us a call to talk to Ray. Our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. I want to talk about some of these great professional athletes that you deal with, Ray, but we're going to take a short little break and come back, and we have much more with Ray McKenna, the founder and president of Catholic Athletes for Christ. Stay with us. Much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Seven minutes after the hour. Welcome back to a Friday edition of Morning Air on this Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm John Morales, and we are once again joined by Ray McKenna, the founder and president of Catholic Athletes for Christ. We're talking about sports and faith and all the great work that Catholic Athletes for Christ is doing. Ray, you alluded to the masses that Catholic Athletes for Christ has been participating in across Major League Baseball and also the NFL. Talk to us a little bit about that work, as well as the retreats and some of the Zoom Bible studies that you're providing for athletes.
Sure, I'd be happy to. In fact, if anybody goes to our website, there's an article at the very top, from the reprinted from the Catholic Herald, about our restart, if you would, post-pandemic restart of our masses throughout the major leagues and the NFL, which might be informative and interesting to readers. As you mentioned, in the intervening time during the COVID restrictions, we converted from an in-person ministry to a largely virtual ministry through Zoom and had some incredible Bible studies. Mike Sweeney, who you mentioned, led some of them. Father Burke Masters, the chaplain for the Cubs, who I know is a frequent visitor to Relevant Radio.
He was with us just this past week, Ray. He's our regular Monday spiritual director. He's awesome.
Well, I love Father Burke. And many other mutual friends, Jeff Supon, Craig Stammen, and others led our Bible studies. We had great interest. And also something we've done this past year, and I encourage your listeners and everybody to really focus on this year of St. Joseph. We consecrated the organization and had personal consecrations to St. Joseph through Father Calloway's excellent 33-day consecration. And we're going to continue to do more of those, God willing, and there's great receptivity and interest, and I have a strong personal devotion to St. Joseph. And I really believe the world, and the sports world especially, needs the patronage of St. Joseph more than ever right now.
And what a great role model, what a great role model of virtues that can apply to young men, particularly athletes.
Absolutely. You know, and in some ways maybe St. Joseph a bit forgotten, even, you know, by the church for many, many centuries, is needed now in the athletic world. And just to see the realization among young and old athletes, you know, 18-year-old players and 75, 80-year-old scouts, you know, speaking about how important St. Joseph has become in their life through their the consecration to St. Joseph is just very touching and humbling.
That's beautiful. Ray, talk to us about the young people, the future leaders of our nation, your program, your national high school program, Cathletes, with Catholic Athletes for Christ. How is that working? I know you have a lot of chapters going on all around the country.
Well, as with our ministry in general, you know, the many of the high schools, most of them, I think, you know, took a big break and were not allowed or permitted even to engage in sports for a long time. So we're beginning a big reboot, restart for our programs. There's one diocese in particular. It's our founding diocese, Trenton, New Jersey, under the very able leadership of Bishop O'Connell, David O'Connell, former president of Catholic University. I've been doing a great job. They have, I believe it's 8 high school chapters there. They get as many as 75, 80 students per meeting at each chapter. They've really well-established sporting powerhouses at the high school levels. Players go on to play at, you know, Notre Dame and all the big division schools. And they are really on fire, and we're just hoping to continue to spread the word of athletics through, you know, at the high school level, and even in some cases below the high school level, K-8, to take the same virtues that you mentioned before, our core virtues, and share them far and wide and get them really excited. You know, many young athletes, they come through the door because they want to hear the stories of Mike Piazza and Mike Sweeney and Philip Rivers, but they find out, you know, soon it's the story of Jesus Christ that they're really there to hear, and he's the one who changes their sports life and their whole life.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's right in the name of your organization, Catholic Athletes for Christ. Your organization is so Christocentric, and it's so important in this day and age to bring this message, especially to athletics and to young people, because oftentimes they make the sport itself bigger than the Lord. Travel baseball, for example, becomes such a priority that Catholic parents can't get their kids to Mass on weekends because of tournaments.
Absolutely. You know, it's just an issue that, but through having the Mass programs we have all throughout, there's a, you know, priests who discuss reverse evangelism, I think is the term they use, reverse catechesis, where the students come through their school effort or their team effort involvement, Catholic Athletes of Christ, tell the parents, hey, you know, we got to go to Mass before we go to the game. That's more important. And their parents start going back to Mass. But it's a big issue, obviously, in our country.
You've mentioned Philip Rivers, Mike Piazza, Jeff Supon, Mike Sweeney. There's so many. Talk about some of the other notable Catholic athletes that you work with from so many different sports.
Oh, there's, you know, Coach Jack Del Rio, defensive coordinator of the Washington Redskins, who's been a keystone member, he and his wife Linda, for many, many years. And we have coaches, athletes, scouts, trainers at almost, you know, every level. There's a making some entries into the NBA. Basketball player Luke Kornet, who hails from Tennessee, who I think is with the Boston Celtics now, is becoming involved with our ministry. And we've had such great response, you know, as I said, from all age brackets and all groups. It's just amazing, you know, absolutely amazing to hear the stories and the testimonies. And there's so many, and I would encourage, we get a lot of requests for the Mike Sweeneys and the Philip Rivers and the Jeff Supons, but there are hundreds of Catholic athletes who want to go out and share their testimony, some of whom, you know, aren't known beyond their teams and their households, but they have a great story to tell, and we'd love to get them far and wide to go tell that story.
Well, Ray, some athletes that may be available to come and speak at our parishes, listeners who maybe might want to invite an athlete to their parish or conference, what can they do?
They could go to our website, and we have a speakers bureau, and there are many, many, I think there are 100 athletes listed there, and we have more who aren't even listed there yet who are willing to speak. So please, you know, send us an email, say we're interested in having a speaker for our communion breakfast, our retreat, or, you know, whatever, and we'll do our best to try to accommodate the request. And I think that there are many athletes out there just chomping at the bit, you know, to go tell their story. And it's, you know, I want to go back and compliment you again for having the inspiration and the enthusiasm to see through champions, because Champions of Faith has really touched and blessed so many people. There's hardly, you know, a month that goes by, John, I'm not somewhere that somebody doesn't know that I had a minor role in connecting you with the athletes and telling me about how Champions for Faith has blessed them, and how they watch it and they share it. And it's just, you know, and that's what the faith is. It's just telling a story. It's telling our story as how our life is changed by our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's
Ray,
why
we're all on the same team, because believe me, at the very beginning, back in spring training, who would have imagined in spring training of 2006 in Surprise, Arizona, when we were interviewing Mike Sweeney and just starting out, that you'd come such a long way and done so amazing work over these last number of years with Catholic Athletes for Christ.
Well, thank you. I appreciate those are kind words, and really it's the efforts of many, many athletes and the Holy Spirit, not myself. But I am very grateful to the Lord for having a role in this ministry, and continue just to wish for our growth and fruitfulness, because there's so many, many more souls and athletes for Christ we wish to reach and you know, explain the joy and the goodness of holiness and being rooted in the Lord.
Ray, I know that your ministry has a heart for the importance of racial reconciliation in our country, with our country that's been so divided. Very briefly, a little bit about that approach.
Sure. Our dear mutual friend Darrell Miller came to me, you know, in the height of last summer, and all the racial division from the George Floyd murder in Minneapolis, and said, you know, hey, we need to speak about this. CAC needs to speak about this. And a lot of hesitancy, to be honest with you, because it was and continues to be an incredibly charged and sadly, in some cases, divisive subject. But we've had five or six racial reconciliation panels with Darrell and many other prominent athletes, Darrell Strawberry being one of them, Reggie Brooks, former Notre Dame running back and star, and many, many others. And all of them have been very positive. I think, you know, our basic tenet is simply this. It's that on any issue, racial reconciliation being one of them, you just need to take the biblical principles that Christ gave us and apply them to reconciliation. And to the extent we do that, we make great progress. To the extent we get our pride and our egos and ourselves involved in the discussion, we don't make progress.
Well, thank you so much, Brother Ray. We're going to have to keep it right there. CatholicAthletesForChrist.org, CatholicAthletesForChrist.org. Ray, it's been a joy to have you on Morning Air, share your ministry. God bless you.
My pleasure. Thank you, John. God bless you.
God bless you. Ray McKenna, the founder and president of Catholic Athletes for Christ. It's now time for a Friday episode of Glenn Story Corner. Our story today is called Don't Tune Out. It's by Craig Larson. A park ranger at Yellowstone National Park was leading a group of hikers to a fire lookout. The ranger was so intent on telling the hikers about the flowers and animals that he considered the messages on his two-way radio to be distracting, so he switched it off. As the group neared the tower, the ranger was met by a nearly breathless lookout who asked why he hadn't responded to the messages on his radio. You see, a grizzly bear had been stalking the group, and the authorities were trying to warn them of the danger. Anytime we tune out the Holy Spirit or ignore the warnings of the Bible, we put ourselves and those around us in danger. Our Lord's words from John 10, 27 and 28, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Thanks so much, Glenn. That'll do it on this Friday, Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins and the entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Tune in to the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 p.m. Central and the Drew Mariani Show and the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight. The Patrick Madrid Show is warming up in the bullpen. It's straight ahead. In the timeless words of my hero, Pope St. John Paul II, do not be afraid, open your doors to Christ.